Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. We're thrilled to have David Allen with us here today. He's a very well-known productivity consultant who's best known as a creator of the time management method known as Getting Things Done. He's also, most notably for us here at the AMA, he's appeared on our list of top 30 leaders, and so we're thrilled to be talking to him. Just a few questions. How do innovative leaders organize themselves, in your observation? Do those who make lists invariably rise to the top?
Well, I think it's not a matter of making lists. It's a matter of being able to reserve your creative energies for where they are best used, which is not about remembering and reminding. So I think the best leaders tend to structure their life so that they don't have to be involved with decisions they shouldn't be making, or that they can basically have a trusted system that allows them to free up their attention to be creative, strategic, and innovative. In other words, if you have to remember where you need to be when, as opposed to have a trusted staff or system or systematic approach that have already laid that out for you, that's not the best use of your creative energies.
And it pulls you away from things that you should be doing, and you shouldn't have to do everything, in other words.
Sure. You know, how much time does it take to be creative? Zero. How much time does it take to be innovative? Zero. How much time does it take to have a good idea? Zero. You don't need time, you need room. So I think what creative leaders do is be able to structure their life so that their brain is more available for that kind of stuff. So it's not about managing time, it's managing your attention. Manage where you are during time you have, so time is an important factor, but that's not something actually you manage. You can't manage time. What you can manage are the things that would distract you or take your attention away from being creative and strategic. So when something is on your mind, it's usually because there's some decision that you haven't made or you haven't parked the results in some place you trust. So I think really innovative leaders wind up building systems for themselves so that they don't have to be using their creative energies for things that are not quite as meaningful.
All right. So that leads into where should lists end and the go with the flow hunches begin? And when is it okay to toss aside plans?
Well, personally, I plan as little as I can get by with. The lists are only there so that my mind doesn't have to keep rethinking anything more than once. So I think the whole time you should be spontaneous and intuitive. In other words, as soon as you think, I need cat food twice, you're inappropriately involved with your cat. Once you have a thought, a would, could, should, need to, ought to, you need to then appropriately deal with what that thought means, park it in some appropriate place. And many times that does mean put it on a list, but that doesn't mean you live your life just looking at lists. Heavens no. You live your life so that you can trust that, hey, when I need that, I'll see it at the right time.
How are people who are self-acknowledged micromanagers, how should they approach your system? Is it possible for them to achieve relaxed control?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by a self-acknowledged micromanager. I mean, micromanagement just says, look, I'm handling something that maybe I shouldn't be handling. That's just stupid.
There are people who feel that unless they have personal involvement in something, it's not going to get done correctly.
That may be true. It kind of begs the question. If they think they need to be involved in everything, then, of course, that's going to prevent them from being able to be freed up to things that are more meaningful. You know, it always comes back to, well, where are they going? What do they want to be accomplishing? If they're on track to accomplish that by being a micromanager, then that's fine. If that's preventing them from being able to put their focus somewhere that will take them where they ought to be going in terms of playing the bigger game, if they have a bigger game to play, then sure, that's just inappropriate use of that. And oftentimes micromanagement is simply because you don't trust. You don't trust yourself or you don't trust the people around you. So building in the ability to be able to entrust things to a system or a systematic approach allows that to be a little bit easier. You're not going to change people's personalities. You know, you can change how they express that. If you have a high attention to detail, which oftentimes are the kinds of personalities that you would say, you know, they tend to be micromanagers. They want to make sure everything is perfect. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You just want to be able to lift up to the level that it's working for you as opposed to a limitation.
And have you had to work with or consult for micromanagers in the past? I mean, did you ever find yourself telling them to step back, just slow it down?
I don't do that kind of coaching or consulting. You know, my whole thing is, what has your attention? Why does it have your attention? What do you need to do to get your mind off of that? And what do you need to do about that? Now, that can take on a lot of subtle levels that will address what I've just been talking about. If they have their attention that they should be doing something that they're not, I go, well, great. What's your next step on that? How do you need to manage that? And what I do is get people to actually objectify what is their inventory of all of their commitments and all the things they think they ought to or should be involved or engaged in. And then once they take a look at that, most people will then self-regulate and go, whoa, I got a whole lot more to do than I can possibly do. Most people just have no idea how many things they've committed to. So once you become conscious about that, you know, you'll be invariably you will be smarter about how you make your decision, because you can only do one thing at a time. Is it half empty or half full? Meaning, is the thing that you decided to do the right thing you ought to be doing, or are you feeling, you know, crappy about all the stuff you're not doing because you're doing this other thing? That's really the game. So you want to be able to be appropriately involved so you can be present with whatever you're doing. So, you know, the ability to be present and have your full attention. And by the way, innovative leaders, when you sit down with them, you'll feel like they're not rushed. They don't have to go somewhere else. They're not looking at their smartphone. They're looking right at you. And they're present. And, you know, all you have to do is, you know, so, you know, whether that's the cause or the result of being an innovative leader, I don't know. And that oftentimes, you know, that is an indicator of somebody who's got their act together.
Okay, so overall, how do you yourself use your own system?
Well, I use it, you know, as I said before, my personal style and inclination is to follow my spontaneous intuitive hunches and just feel good about whatever I'm doing and plan as little as I can get by with, because life changes a lot. So I don't structure anything that I don't need to structure in order to be able to get it off my mind. So, you know, practically speaking, usually the night before the day, you know, I'm checking in on, you know, what is my hard landscape? What are the commitments that I've got? Where do I need to be when? How do I structure myself in space and time? And then on some regular basis, and usually on a weekly basis, you know, I step back for a couple of hours and catch up. What are all the things I'm committed to? What has changed? What's the status of all the things that are unfinished yet that I still have some level of commitment to finish? And essentially bring up the rear guard. So, you know, probably, and by the way, that happens to be one of the things that is probably most lacking or most in the way of people being innovative leaders, is their lack of reflection time and their lack of ability to be able to sort of catch up in the world that they're involved in and be present with that.
Dave, you've had a wide and varied number of professions before becoming a consultant. What are the organizational lessons you learned from that time?
You know, a lot of what I learned was how many things are common to everybody trying to run a business, trying to manage a business. And I was a pretty good number two guy. You know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I grew up, but I had a bunch of interesting friends who were doing interesting things. So I wound up, you know, helping them, you know, do a lot of what they were doing. What was fascinating was sort of commonly, oftentimes the biggest issue was the fact that they had processes that weren't working, that were in the way. Or that was the biggest improvement opportunity that they had, was, you know, they were lacking sort of the ability to execute on creative stuff that, you know, they were holding as an entrepreneur or a business person. But I didn't start out with that as a big plan. It's just that, you know, I would go in, look around, see how could I improve the situation so they could get more done with less effort, and then fixed it, and then I got bored. So I looked around for something else. One day I discovered they actually paid people to do that, and they called them something called a consultant. I guess that's my job. Hung out my shingle and said, okay, let me just, you know, see if I can sell my services on a project-by-project basis. And that's how I got into the consulting game. And then I quickly looked to see, well, what was common to all of these people, and what were some of the methods or methodologies or techniques that affected everybody, and that if they used them, invariably improved their situation. And that's how I came up with ultimately what got to be known as GTD, or the Getting Things Done methodology.
And you mentioned that there are things you do each day according to your system. I guess the 10,000-foot look. What are the things that you consider to be on that level?
Well, there's what I call the ground level, and that's the, you know, one of the commitments made be on the call with you today at this particular time, right? That's that level. There's a lot of things that are not on my schedule because I just do them as they show up. You know, eat lunch, go for a walk, take the dog out for a pee. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that just happen simply because that's the, you know, that's that level. So there's the level of commitments on the physical, visible activity level, and that's usually what's on your calendar. If I have discretionary time, then there's all the other things that, okay, to do as soon as I can get them done, as soon as that seems appropriate. Most people, by the way, have between 100 and 200 of those next actions as a general inventory of those things. And most people have somewhere between 30 and 100 projects, meaning things that are going to take more than one step to actually finish that they have some commitment about. So that's a typical sort of inventory. And that's, you know, what I like to refer to as orientation maps. I want to orient myself. Okay, what are all the things I need to be looking at? And, it, you know, it's managing the forest instead of hugging the trees. I don't necessarily do that on a daily basis because if you're doing that on a weekly basis, you don't need to do that on a daily basis. I mean, how often should a leader be reviewing strategic plans? You know, if they're looking at them every day, they're probably not really reviewing them. You know, they need looking at them as often as they need to make sure that their resources are allocated appropriately. So the different horizons that we have commitment. That would be everything from the phone calls that I need to make, you know, at a certain time today, all the way up to, you know, then here's all the things I need to finish in terms of hire the assistant, launch the ad campaign, restructure my senior team, et cetera. And those are projects. That's another level that you need to look at, not daily, but weekly, at least. And then there's another level called, okay, what's my job as a leader? Right? How am I doing in terms of staff development, succession planning, asset management, customer service, strategic direction, you know, product development? I don't know. Depends on what your job is. How often are you looking at all the things that either your boss or your board is holding you accountable to do well? That's another map at another horizon. And then you have the other horizon called where you want to be by the end of 2015. You know, that's, you know, strategic plans usually are, you know, the next anywhere from the next 3 to 24 months. What are you committed to finish, accomplish, or have in place? Then you have another level called, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up in terms of company or career? You know, where's your company going? What's 5 years from now? You know, what business are you in? What's your vision, if you will, you know, for yourself and or an organization? And then you have the top level of commitment, which is why are you on the planet? Why does your company exist? So those are six horizons, essentially, of commitments that I've identified. I couldn't get it any simpler than that. Those are all very real discussions, you know, you need to have with yourself and or other key people that may be engaged with your life and your work. Not, is any one better than the other? Well, it all ultimately comes down to execution. It all comes down to what physically are you doing with your resources and your attention right now. But all of those become conversations that help inform your intuitive decisions about what you think you ought to do. So there's no hard and fast. If there was a silver bullet, you know, heavens, you know, somebody would have made a gazillion dollars. But there's no silver bullet. The silver bullet is basically to make sure you're looking at these different maps or these orientation contexts for yourself sufficiently so that you can just trust your gut or your spirit or the seat of your pants or whatever you trust to make those intuitive judgment calls.
Okay. What is your own 50,000-foot plan?
Well, 50,000 is not exactly a plan. The top level is sort of why do you exist? So, you know, I just have a working hypothesis, you know, which is basically accessing the highest level of energy that I can and express that, you know, as elegantly as I can. So I figure if anybody can actually figure that out before you die, you'll be in the fast lane. Because the problem, well, it's not a problem. It's this, you can only see yours from your current maturity. A week from now, you'll have a different spin on it because you'll be a little older.
So it's just, you know, keep on working to building on the day, building on the week.
Yeah. I mean, it's agile programming. Essentially, it's like, you know, hold as big a vision as you can and course correct. Just get moving. And then you course correct based upon that. That's why ultimately it really comes back to, well, what's got your attention? That's why as simple as my stuff is, it can handle and address some pretty sophisticated things. Because once you actually handle what has your attention, then you'll actually discover what really has your attention. Which, by the way, once you handle, will then allow you to see what really has your attention. But if you try to handle the big one before you handle the stuff right in front of your face that's distracting you, good luck. I think a unique about, you know, my approach is I tend to work with people with where you are, not with where you should be. Because if you can't control where you are and get your attention back and be present with it, then, you know, good luck at trying to stretch out anywhere beyond that.
Yes, you really won't be able to focus on your big goal if you're constantly worried about the smaller things, such as getting the dishes done each day or making payroll for that week.
Correct. Doesn't mean that you can't think about that. Sure, you certainly can, but you're certainly not going to be able to put appropriate attention on it, nor feel really comfortable about how you're engaged with it, because it's really about appropriate engagement. It's not so much about getting things done. Are you appropriately engaged with your plans? Are you appropriately engaged with your company? Are you appropriately engaged with your cat? Are you appropriately engaged with your health? Are you appropriately engaged with your, you know, whatever you're involved in? And that kind of becomes the key question. And all these things we've been talking about are just elements of what you need to address in order to get to that place that you feel, now I'm appropriately engaged.
We've been speaking to well-known consultant and author David Allen. Dave, thanks for being with us today.
Terrific. You too.
Follow the American Management Association on Twitter to learn about upcoming free programs, the latest news, management insights, and special offers. You can follow us at AMANET. That's AMANET. Hope to tweet to you real soon. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.